I could say whatever I want, I could be a good orator, but without the anointing, it's nothing. It's just another good speech, and you didn't come here for another good speech. Even praise and worship, we could be the best or the worst musicians, but without the anointing of God, that's that presence that God brings to help things sound better and be better and mean something to you. But when that happens, it's a whole different story. So I want to tell you a story today about some pigs, believe it or not. Pigs. By the way, do you know how pigs communicate? Swine language. Yeah. What do you get when you cross a pig and a dinosaur? Jurassic pork. Two pigs and a goat walk into a church. Pastor said, who let those animals in here? Get those animals out of here. Okay. On to the story. It really is about pigs in Mark 5. This is a story about the swine and about a guy that was demon-possessed. This event is written down in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to read mostly from the one in Mark 5. So you can turn to Mark 5, and we'll read how Mark writes about this event. It's a very interesting story. We're going to learn something from it today. In the name of Jesus, we are. Jesus is with his disciples. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, and immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Okay, you getting a visual picture of this story? I like to visualize it. See that guy in your head. That guy's messed up, right? Verse 6, seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." Isn't it interesting that the tormentors are asking Jesus not to torment them? For he had been saying to them, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine, told you, feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. All that bacon! The herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country. Some guy on the hillside called Jesus just ruined all your bacon for the next 5 years. And that's not in there. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man, and all about the swine. So there's this guy And out of the three Gospels, we get that he was demon-possessed. They would try to control him. They would put chains and shackles on him. He would tear them apart. He ran around naked, screaming, which is against the law still. He ran around naked and screaming, and he lived in the tombs. They had caves, and that's where he lived, and he would scare people. No one wanted to be around him. So Jesus comes along, and Jesus heals this guy. They later find him. You know, he's sitting down there talking with Jesus. And the demons go out of the guy into the swine. And the pig farmers get really upset, and they go into town, and they tell him, so the people get scared, and they ask Jesus to leave. The village people come out to Jesus, not the YMCA guys, but the people from the village, I'll put it like that. They come out and say, okay, you're going to have to go. So let's look at some of the details here. The Sea of Galilee is what all of this is happening around. It's about 21 miles long, 8 miles wide. So it's not like the sea like when we think of like the Atlantic or something like that. It's a smaller sea. And on this southeast corner of this sea is this region called Decapolis. They called it Decapolis because there were 10 cities all tightly knit in there, real close together. Decapolis. And this is where it happened when Jesus came into this area and he healed the demon-possessed guy, and people from all around the region come out and said, listen, we're going to have to kick you out of here. So Jesus' first trip to Decapolis, we read how that goes. All three Gospels say that he was in Gerasenes or Gadarenes. It's the Decapolis region. Now, the next thing we know is that Jesus was kicked out. In Matthew 8:34, it says, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they implored him to leave their region. And we read in Luke 8. We read in Mark 5. In Luke 8, it says, all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked Jesus to leave, for they were gripped with fear, it says. So Jesus and his disciples decide to leave. They get in a boat and go across. Later, I got to reading that they actually come back to the Decapolis region. There's a return. A couple of chapters later in Mark 7:31, it says, again, he went out from the region of Tyre, came through Sidon, to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis, the same area, the southeast corner of Galilee. But things go very differently this time with Jesus in the area of Decapolis. In Mark 7:32, it says, they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hand on him. Well, in Mark 7 and 8, we read that there's like this big revival that happens. They bring thousands of people out to Jesus. They find him on a mountain. They actually search out for him. Now they're following him by the thousands. There's a report that in Mark 7 that he fed 4,000 people. That was just the guys. It's not counting the women and children, 4,000 people. Matthew 15, this is the same story. Let's read what Matthew has to write about it. Matthew 15:30-31. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind man seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So I asked myself, wait a second, this is the exact same place that they all met up together and kicked Jesus out of town because he healed one guy that we know of from a demonic possession. What's the difference? It's the same area, same people. To see the difference of these two visits that Jesus had on Decapolis, we go back to the first story in Mark 5:18, and we begin reading there. Mark 5:18. As he, and this is Jesus, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, Jesus said this to the man, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. How he had mercy on you, and he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. In Luke, just to read another version of the same story, Luke 8:38. But the man from whom demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. It is very likely that because of this one guy, I believe possibly the first missionary for Jesus, that this entire area of people that once kicked Jesus out of the country now gathered to him by the thousands because one guy was asked to stay and tell people his story about Jesus. Think about the lives that were changed because of this one guy. Think about this guy that used to run around screaming and that no one could control him, and he was demon-possessed, and he would scare people, and he'd hurt him, cut himself, and lived in caves. That's a sketchy past. And this guy, because of the love of Jesus, healed completely. This one guy began to go and tell people about his encounter with Jesus. And the next time Jesus shows up, there's a huge revival. Thousands are healed, miracles constantly. I want us to look at a couple of the aspects that this guy possessed that I thought might encourage us. Two things that I realized that this guy had. I want to look at his direction, and I want to look at his equipping, okay? You see, in Mark 5:19, we read that Jesus says, go home to your people. You see, this guy wasn't asked to go to Africa. This guy wasn't asked to start a church or go from church to church or become some kind of a church speaker or write a book or anything. This guy, not any of those things are negative because sometimes God asks people to do that. But this guy was asked to go back to his own people to tell about his encounter with Jesus. He didn't have to go across the world or even across town. One gospel says that he told the whole city the great things that Jesus did for him. His direction was very simple. Just go back and talk to your people. Find people in your city, in your home, that needs to hear about the great things that Jesus can do. And the next thing was his equipping. I want you to think about this. The disciples were the ones that were being trained and disciplined and taught to go out and do the ministry of Jesus. They had been in training for quite a while at this point. Jesus had not sent them out yet. Jesus had not said to the disciples, all right, I need for you guys to go out to this town and you guys do the preaching now, or you guys do the witnessing, tell about all the things that Jesus is doing, that I'm doing. But the disciples weren't sent out until a couple of chapters later. But this guy, who just met him, was now sent out to be the first missionary for Jesus, to tell an entire region about the love of Jesus. What is it that this guy had that Jesus thought qualified him to go out with this big ministry? He had a personal encounter with Jesus. He had a Jesus story. He had a Jesus story. That's what he was equipped with. That's what qualified him, his encounter with Jesus. He didn't say, well, I haven't been cleared by the church officials yet. He didn't say, well, I need state permission to blah, blah, blah. Just go and do what God told you to do. Yeah, that one sometimes hurts a little bit. God qualifies you, not your parents, not your friends, not your family. God qualifies you. Don't wait on anybody else to say, all right, now you're good enough to go share the gospel. God qualifies you, and that's the only qualification that matters to do extraordinary things. He went and told his story of his personal encounter with Jesus to the whole city. One gospel says Decapolis, the whole region. And the results we read about are phenomenal, with thousands of people. Now think about this. Now thousands of people have a Jesus story. One guy had a Jesus story. And a little bit later, thousands of people have a Jesus story. They've encountered Jesus. And it very well could be because one guy prepared the way for him and said, listen, Jesus is probably going to give back, but this is the great things that God has done for me. And now thousands of people have a Jesus story. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You see, I feel an urgency today like I've never felt before, that we need to get this good news out to the world. The world needs to see and experience the love of God. And there's people out here who are hungry for it. There's people out here that don't even know about it. I read a story the other day about this missionary that was traveling through China to get to somewhere else. He stayed with some stranger's house. They're that way over there in this village, and they asked him to come in. And oh, it was the Pioneer Bible Translator guy. And he said, so you guys know about Jesus? And they asked him, so what is Jesus? They didn't even know. People are hungry for it, and there's some people that don't know about it, and they need to hear the gospel. But you know what else? There's people in Choctaw, Oklahoma that need to see God's love. There's people, John will tell you, we've met several people at the skating rink when we have the open skate, free skate night, that they have no church affiliation or have ever been. Sometimes we're very sheltered when we don't think of Christianity outside these walls. I know I've been that way. But I feel an urgency in my spirit that we need to make sure that everybody we come in contact with has heard about the love of God and knows about Jesus and all that he can do. Jesus said in Luke 10:2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. This has become one of my new favorite passages. This is Paul teaching here, and he says this, 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Reconcile as he restored our relationship back with him. Okay? Things are reconciled. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so now you have that ministry of reconciliation. You are able to reconcile people to God like Jesus did. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses or their sins against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, what that means is, verse 20, we are now ambassadors for Christ. Just like this guy in Decapolis, Jesus had to go away, but he said, basically, while I'm away, you stay here and spread the good news, because I'm going to come back. And great things are going to happen. And that's how we are. We are now the ambassadors. Jesus has gone away. Thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is sitting the right hand of the Father. He had to go away. So that means the job now falls to his Christians, to his children, to his people, you and me. We are now ambassadors. We now get to go throughout the city and tell people about all the great things that Jesus is doing. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, restore your relationship back with God. And that's the beauty of it all. God only wants to restore relationship back with you. He wants relationship. That's why we were created in the first place. Relationship. Somebody asked the other day, why would God love me? Why does God want a relationship with me? Because he wants to be your father. See, my sons, I have two sons, they never come to me and say, why do you love me? Well, this is something I do because you're my son. I can't help it. I don't really need a reason. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve to be loved by my dad. It's something that happens. That's how God is. He simply loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. God loves you and wants a personal relationship with you. Now, if you've had an experience with Jesus, you've encountered Jesus, congratulations, you are now equipped with the Jesus story. You're just as equipped as this guy in Decapolis. If there are people in your life, congratulations, you now have a mission field. Busted. So what is your story? What is your Jesus story? What is your encounter, and who is it that you can tell? Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I'd like for you to bow your heads, if you would, please, as we pray. And I have an important question for you. When asking about your Jesus story, maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel like you have a Jesus story. You never went to Jesus and said, listen, I don't know how this is done, but I believe in you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. If you don't have a Jesus story, but you feel in your heart God is tugging at you saying, yes, I want that. I want you to raise your hand. Let's fix that today. Let's accept Jesus into our hearts. Let's become a Christian and make sure that you're going to have a life in heaven, an abundant life on earth. Anybody? God's tugging at your heart. Just show me your hand. If you would everybody stand with me and kind of stay in an attitude of prayer real quick? We're going to dismiss those that are going to be baptized. I want to take some time as they're getting ready today. I want you to think this week about your Jesus story. In 1 Peter, when we consider that verse, what is your answer when people ask? What is this hope that you have within you? What makes you so different? What makes you better? What makes you anything? Think about your Jesus story. And then make a point. I'm going to tell somebody that I don't know about something good that God has done for me. Can you do that with me? I'm going to promise to do that. Will you raise your hand if that's going to be a commitment in your life this week? I'm going to tell somebody about God, somebody about Jesus, somebody about all that's been happening in my life. Thank you. Thank you. All of you also pray for souls. Let's get people into heaven. I don't ever want to have somebody look back at me and say, well, Jeff, I was your next door neighbor. You never told me anything. Amen. God, we thank you so much for your word and for your spirit and for your anointing. And we thank you that you have given us the responsibility to be ambassadors. And we want to take your gospel and your light and your love into the world. Show people love through us. Help us to love people like you love them.